Good morning. I want to welcome our visitors today. Can we give them a warm welcome and hope? I hope you fall in love with this place. It is an amazing place, and we would love for you to come back as our students. We're wrapping up Missions Week, and you have heard about it's time to sign up for a trip. I have room on trips for women. I have Orlando, DR, and Chicago open. Guys, I have a few spots on each of the trips, and I want to tell you, we need you. And especially for some of our trips, we could really use your big muscles. And so it's a great time to get away, to be with students and your fellow friends, and it's a very purposeful way of using your spring break. And trust me, if you don't make plans, you're going to wish that you did. So check out the website and pick a trip. There is a perspectives class that will be offered next semester, and it's about God's heart for the global world. And if you'd like to take that for credit, that's available, and we'll have slides for the next couple weeks. Check that out. Opportunities for this summer. We have a program called Cultivate. It is with the RCA. It can be a gap year or a summertime. If you want more information, see me right down in the front. And then I want to introduce Dan Buck. He is our chaplain intern. I don't know if he's officially been introduced, so give him a warm welcome. Dan served with YWAM for 6 years. And so if you are interested in doing a summer mission opportunity, or again, a gap year, YWAM is a wonderful ministry. It's youth with a mission. See Dan, he'll be right up front. And then next, I want to introduce a wonderful student, and Brenda Edikwe. She is from, yes, give her some love. She is from Rwanda, and she's a sophomore, and she is going to share a story that's found in Scripture. So listen up.
Hi, I'm really scared, so don't mind. We're going to read Acts chapter 9. It said, "All this time, Saul was breathing down the necks of the master's disciples out for the kill. He went to the chief priests and got arrest warrants to take to the meeting places in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there belonging to the way, whether men or women, he could arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem. He set off. When he got to the outskirts of Damascus, he was suddenly dazed by a blinding flash of light. As he fell to the ground, he heard a voice, 'Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me?' He said, 'Who are you, master?' 'I am Jesus, the one you are hunting down. I want you to get up and enter the city. In the city, you will be told what to do next.' His companions stood there dumbstruck. They could hear the sound but couldn't see anyone, while Saul, picking himself up off the ground, found himself stone blind. They had to take him by the hand and lead him into Damascus. He continued blind for 3 days. He ate nothing, drank nothing. There was a disciple in Damascus by the name of Ananias. The master spoke to him in a vision. 'Ananias.' 'Yes, master,' he answered. 'Get up and go over to Straight Avenue. Ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus. His name is Saul. He's there praying. He has just had a dream in which he saw a man named Ananias enter the house and lay hands on him so he could see again.' Ananias protested, 'Master, you can't be serious. Everybody's talking about this man and the terrible things he's been doing. His reign of terror against your people in Jerusalem. And now he's shown up here with papers from the chief priests that give him license to do the same to us. But the master say, don't argue. Go. I have picked him as my personal representative to non-Jews and kings and Jews. And now I am about to show him what he's in for, the hard suffering that goes with this job.' So Ananias went and found the house placed his hands on blind Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Master sent me, the same Jesus you saw on your way here. He sent me so you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." No sooner were the words out of his mouth than something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got to his feet, was baptized, and sat down with them to a hearty meal. Saul spent a few days getting acquainted with the Damascus disciples, but then went right to work, wasting no time preaching in the meeting places that this Jesus was the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Last week I was driving in the morning and I found myself in total darkness. Did I mention that it was morning and everything was dark? I caught a glimpse, though, of a bright, shining light to the side, and it was over the trees. I couldn't miss it. It was so bright. I found myself doing a U-turn to get a better peek. Did I see what I thought I saw? The moon lit up the sky, and it was stunning. You could not miss the beauty of the light. So driving in the total opposite direction, I found my car heading to another spot to get a better view. I felt pulled to this light, kind of like in the movies after a sighting of an alien ship. I had to see this light. Well, it looks like a sunset. This is not the sun. This is the moon reflecting the light of the sun. Remarkable. Well, I have found that when light shines on things, it enhances and makes things beautiful. I have a great view out of my office window in the Keppel House, and you can see beautiful trees on our campus from my window. One morning, the sun was brightly shining, and the colors, the leaves, they just popped. In fact, the colors at the top of the tree, they look more vivid when the light shines from the sun. We have a God that shines light in our life. In fact, he brought the light of heaven to earth through Jesus. That is what God does in our life. He takes dark parts of our life and shines light on them. Well, he saw the flash of light. He couldn't miss it. It was Jesus on the Damascus Road that met him, and he fell to his knees. But you know, he didn't stay on his knees because God had a purpose for his life. Saul was a transformed man that became Timothy's mentor. The Apostle Paul that we've heard about this semester, that is the same man. This is his story, a very broken story that God used this man for his purposes. Paul's story is a true story of grace. He was once a persecutor of people that followed Jesus. That was his identity. He persecuted people that followed Jesus, and he became a Jesus follower. His new identity was in Christ. Listen to how Jesus identified him, a chosen instrument of mine. He was a person of value that God would use. God called Saul's name to carry God's name to many. The rippling effect is huge. It's you and I. We hear the gospel message each week here, and we can trace that back to Paul. That is the power of story. Paul's story is told three times in Acts, and I believe he told his story over and over and over again because it's hard to keep something so good to yourself. There is no one that God will not use. And he pursues all of us. He wants to use you and me for his glory. In John 3:16, we read that, "For God so loved the whole world." That's everyone. That's you and me. Paul's story shows us that we have a personal God. God knew his name. That's what I love about the scripture. Here's this guy that is just walking in brokenness. And he calls out, "Saul, Saul," and he is a personal God that wants to get to know you. He wants to call you by name, Ashley and Abby and Matt, all of you he wants a relationship with. He knows you even before you may know him, and he desires to use you to help bring the light of heaven to earth. If you think Paul's story is reserved just for some people and not others, totally not true. This story is for everybody. In fact, Paul's story, it shouts that God uses all types of people. Paul was a victimizer, a murderer, and yet described by God as, yep, a chosen instrument of God. God desires to use people to share his good news. I recently returned from a conference when I heard testimonies of human trafficking survivors. The brokenness and horror of stories was nothing short of the presence of evil. Nothing else could explain how one human can treat another human in that way. But in each story, there was a message of light, where God did the impossible. As survivors told their story, there was always a person that God used to free the people that were held captive. He uses people to help the light of heaven come to earth. Gary Haugen, founding director of International Justice Mission, says it well. When we see the darkness in the world, God's word says he left two things, the Holy Spirit and his people to shine in the darkness. It is God's plan A, and you know what, folks? There's no plan B. He left his Holy Spirit, and he left you and me. Are you willing to let God shine through you? You can do it right here at Hope College. And as you leave Hope College, bring that light with you. Paul demonstrated a type of missions whose calling and passion is to take the gospel to nations where there is no access to the gospel at all. He says in Romans 15, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named. Could there be someone in this room that shares Paul's passion to reach the utterly unreached and unengaged peoples of the world? The message is simple today. Follow Jesus. You're a college student. You're pursuing your education, but can I encourage you to follow Jesus first, and then he'll lead and he'll guide you into your vocational calling. Did you catch the second message that I mentioned? He wants to use you. His plan A, that's you, and the Holy Spirit will help you. He has a plan for each of us to help bring the good news of the light of heaven to this earth. I want to ask you a few questions. Have you encountered Jesus? Turn your heart towards Christ in faith. Do you believe and trust that he has potential to change your life? If he can repurpose Paul's life, he can repurpose your life. The story of Paul screams mercy and grace. His own words tell us that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, but for that very reason, I show mercy. So listen to Jesus' words. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. Go be the light.